Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu.
Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center with a restaurant and pub overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Live music and event schedule at stoneharbor-resort.com.
This is Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. It's been 20 years since voters in the Western Technical College District have been asked to fund a project. In 1992, voters approved a referendum to improve regional facilities. On November 6th, voters in 11 counties will be asked to vote on an almost $80 million referendum. If it's approved, that means six new building or remodeling projects for Western's La Crosse campus. The building plan is part of a long-range renewal project called Vision 2020. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom talked with Western Technical College Vice President of Finance and Operations, Mike Pieper, and President Lee Rosh about the referendum.
This is a facilities referendum that is tied into our overall Vision 2020 strategic plan. And that plan was approved by our district board in June of 2010. So the companion pieces in the plan are the curriculum improvements that we have in store and the differences in staffing and scheduling. So we're bringing forward the facilities piece, kind of like a three-legged stool. If we can do all of these things together, we believe we'll have a significant impact on our enrollment and our ability to serve the community. So the six projects are to completely renovate the Coleman Center. The Coleman Building was constructed in 1923. The original school, the Longfellow School that housed our organization, burned down in 1922, and so the Coleman Building was established at that time. It's a very old and inefficient building, energy inefficient, scheduling inefficient. It's been added on, remodeled, amended over the years, and it simply needs to be put in a position of being a state-of-the-art classroom facility for the next 100 years. We can redo that building, and it'll be equivalent to a brand new building. We can redo that building for about $26.5 million. To build a new facility, classroom facility comparable, would be about $35 million. It's a large building, 151,000 square feet.
Where does the cost savings come in? Because it's a renovation as compared to a replacement?
Exactly. Well, the basic foundation and other elements, those are things that we don't have to start from scratch, so we are able to gain some efficiency there. But it needs a complete overhaul. We've tried piecing and patching over the years on this facility, and it's very dated in its energy efficiency and its layout. The second project is the CUM Center, and in this area, we're responding to the increases in demand in two student groups. One is students that are starting at Western and transferring, and there's a strong interest in the sciences for many of those students. The second population are the healthcare programs. And if you can just see what's happening with the baby boom generation reaching their retirement years, you can understand why we're anticipating significant increased demand in the healthcare occupations as well. So we're going to redo that facility so that it becomes a science facility, particularly providing the labs, the biology, chemistry labs, the simulation labs that would support both of those populations. The third facility is redoing an existing two-story building. We have a building called the Applied Tech Building on campus. It is it's the home of our building trades programs and our welding program. Formerly, we housed some of our public safety programs, and we now have relocated those to Sparta. That building was constructed so that it could go up to four stories. And so we're going to take that building, and we're going to empty it out and rebuild a four-story integrated technology center. Here we're going to bring all of the manufacturing programs, they're now in six different locations, into one setting, and all of the building systems programs, like architectural, HVAC, wood tech and construction. By creating these occupational centers, we're going to allow the curriculum to match what's happening in the workplace. So graduates in the mechanical design area, for example, they're well qualified in mechanical design. Companies like Trane recruit our grads. But in the workplace, you not only design something, it is built and it's tested to make sure that it's working according to design. So by integrating our curriculum, we're going to have students work in capstone courses before they graduate. In mechanical design, they'll work with the CNC operators or the welders or the fabricators, so that basically all of those program students are going to be producing as they would in the workplace. It's also going to allow us to build business partnerships, and this is a huge element of this. Colleges around the country that have been successful at developing these advanced technology centers are able to access high-tech, expensive equipment that is usually not donated, it's usually loaned, could be donated, by companies that want to demonstrate their equipment in place. Colleges get to use it for training. They may bring customers or clients in to see it in operation. But here's the key. When the technology changes, they can take that equipment out and replace it with the newest CNC machine or whatever the technology is. Therefore, it's not an ongoing cost for the college to stay current, state of the art. It also becomes a strong magnet for the next generation of students to come in when they see this kind of business partnership. It really opens the doors to their awareness of what the career opportunities are. I should mention, by the way, our goal with all of these facilities is to create energy-efficient facilities that would allow them to serve as living laboratories for our energy programs. We would rather use our facilities for instruction in as much as we can rather than setting up a simulation space to try to replicate what the energy efficiency or energy savings could be. So having a state-of-the-art LEED Platinum building is going to give us our students a chance to be exposed to applying their curriculum onto the facility that they're studying in. The last three facilities are an expansion of our diesel and heavy equipment space. It's in the Northside Industrial Park in La Crosse. We just simply have outgrown the space. We're leasing space in what was the former Gateway Foods Distribution Center. Sure. We want to consolidate that, and that'll give it the space that it needs. But we'll also have the option of adding, with the added space, certificates in some new curricular areas. For example, Quick Trip is converting their fleet to compressed natural gas. Currently, we're not offering CNG training, but in the new facility, with the space and capacity that we have, we could begin to do that. The fifth project is to build a greenhouse horticulture facility on campus. We're leasing space in the community now, but we have received an offer from a community group called the Hillview Urban Agriculture Center to locate their facility on our campus. And they have two large donors that are contributing $220,000 to help that happen. And so what we're going to do is allow the donation to reduce their rent if they co-locate on our campus with our landscape facility. Meanwhile, they would be donating their current site. Now, the current site is in the neighborhood here, not far from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. And it has it's five city lots. And our goal would be to build housing on those lots and then sell the housing to the community. But our goal is to build passive-rated, energy-efficient homes. It's the highest residential rating for energy efficiency you can accomplish. So now we have our current building programs are creating housing replacement now throughout the community, and now we have this higher level of energy efficiency skill set that we're exposing students to. And then we're bringing, restoring the housing to the tax rolls. Hopefully that could allow that to be a model that could be expanded throughout the community as well. The final project is to provide parking, and we just simply need to address this issue. We're expecting a significant increase in enrollment with these changes. We're projecting that by 2020, we will be serving 1,000 more students on campus. And so this will allow us to accommodate that as well.
Why advance such a large referendum? It is the biggest in your 100-year history, right? Why not pace this over, say, two referendums? Why all? Why now?
Well, you know, it is one of the most cost-effective times for borrowing because of interest rates. And so that's a significant factor. But keep in mind, we're a large district. And we've been working on this plan for almost 3 years now. And we believe that it's in our district, with our community, we need to bring this total initiative forward and let them understand and weigh in on the total plan that we're bringing forward. We don't feel it's actually more cost effective if you try to phase this, because for the most part, you're just simply staging and setting back some borrowing, but there's a lot of overlap. It's really not a savings. And because of that, it's our decision to go forward and do it all in one effort.
How will you pace the projects? I mean, all at once, one at a time, two here, two there?
The total project won't be completed until mid-2016. And because those are heavily used buildings, we have to adjust our schedule and move our programs around into some temporary accommodations while we do the work. And so it's going to take some time to do that.
How is student growth? I mean, are you finding that you're continually needing more space to fit the students in, and that kind of plays into future plans?
Well, enrollment increased by about 14% over the last 5 years. But here's the thing. We are at a capacity in a number of different programs. For example, even this fall, we had over 200 students on waiting lists in some high-demand areas. The data that we have is indicating that there are individuals in our community that could really benefit from Western if we could figure out how to accommodate them given the limitations we have at capacity. For example, many people aren't aware that in the city of La Crosse, 25.3% of the adult population aged 18 to 64 are living below the poverty level. Now, poverty statistics don't count students living in residence halls. They might include students who are living in the community. So you might say, well, maybe that percentage might be taken down a few percentage points if you factor in that student variable.
Sure.
It's still a huge number. There are a lot of people in our community that are working, but not at a livable wage. And they can't afford to quit their job to go to school full time. And so we're looking at significantly expanding what we're offering in terms of our curriculum and the way we're scheduling so that we can accommodate that population in a far better way. I believe that 1,000 student growth isn't going to come from 1,000 more people coming into our community. It's going to be people who are already living here that we're going to be able to serve because our facilities and our curriculum and the way we're staffing and scheduling is lining up the way it needs to.
Factoring also unemployment in recent years, is that another one? Are you seeing more people that are looking for skills sooner than later to get to that other job?
Well, you know, unemployment in La Crosse County is relatively low if you compare it to the state percentages or national. But there's something else that's happening that's pretty significant. In Wisconsin, it's called the skills gap. Manpower did a study in March of 2012, and they found at that time in Wisconsin there were 120,000 people receiving unemployment benefits. At the same time, there were 34,000 available positions, technical positions that were good paying, where you didn't need a bachelor's degree. So essentially, the problem is getting people from one group into the other, and it's not a simple scheduling issue. You have to draw people into those occupations. And employers are not just looking for the technical skills. They're looking for the total package. They're looking for people who can problem solve and communicate effectively. So in order to make this work, we're going to have to take our curriculum and we're going to need to reach people. We're going to need to offer skill certificates that will get people started. But where possible, those credits need to transfer into advanced degrees so that they can round out their skill sets so they become better, more marketable over time. And, of course, having flexible, transferable credits is going to help them if there are changes in the economy or something else that might affect them down the road.
Why are all these expansions in La Crosse, given that you folks have pretty far-reaching smaller class sites and such?
You know, our district enrollment is right now such that we serve the counties that we serve just about based on the populations that those counties represent for the district. For example, 52% of our enrollment right now, they're students who live outside of La Crosse County. And we believe that if we expand our enrollment, that that distribution isn't going to change. And it's because we're providing access to people who live in the region and the basin that we serve. We've also been heavily investing in those facilities in the regional centers over the years, and so we're not going to walk away from that investment. What we're really lacking right now is we need to address the facilities issues in La Crosse. But we think if we add those scheduling changes and the curricular changes, we're going to serve the overwhelming majority, or the majority of the students are going to be outside of La Crosse County anyway.
Is a referendum the only option technical colleges have to build or remodel buildings?
With some limits, we can do small projects without voter authority. We can do remodeling up to a certain amount. We can spend up to $1.5 million, for example, on a new construction project without voter authority. But these are facilities that really can't be done in steps and stages. They need to be addressed in a total way.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, La Crosse. I'm Steve Rysom. Our topic is the Western Technical College's $80 million referendum. And when does that thing go for a vote?
It's on the ballot November 6th.
All right. And with us, you just heard WTC President Lee Rosch and Vice President Mike Pieper. He is Vice President of Finance and Operations. Is that right, Mike?
That's correct.
How much debt does WTC have at this point?
Our capacity to borrow is quite extensive, over $700 million. What we borrow, we manage about $50 million on a rolling basis. That's to replace equipment used for training, upkeep, and remodeling of our facilities. Rather quick payoff of that, and so it's kind of a revolving issue of debt.
What sort of impact will these projects have on your operating budget?
The Vision 2020 idea of we really need to serve more students that are on the wait list and other students that we know that are out there. The only way we can do that is through efficiency, so efficiency on how we staff, efficiency on our facilities and other ways in which we operate. Our operating levy is pretty much capped. We have a $1.50 mill rate for operational purposes. That we're at that cap. That cap is in place by the state. We don't see that changing. State aid has declined considerably over the last decade. And then tuition is another piece, and that's controlled by the state. So the idea behind these projects is to generate enough savings to serve 1,000 additional full-time students.
Does the impact of the state cuts to your operating budget make this project more important, less important?
I would say more important in the sense that we need to take control of our own destiny. So anywhere where we can gain efficiencies to invest back into the students, and 81% of our graduates are being employed in the Seven Rivers region, so that's helping our region economic impact and just the vitality of our employers. So it goes back to if we can be more efficient, we know we can serve more students.
Why is now the best time to do this project?
We did our comprehensive planning and we brought it forward to the board in 2010. We look at, is a referendum needed? Is a referendum not needed? What would it look like if we didn't go to referendum? What would it look like if we went to referendum? Some of the key factors that we looked at this time around was all-time low interest rates. Next year will be my 20th year kind of in this sector, and I've seen on average a 5.5% interest rates on 20-year debt. We could have sold everything last week for 3% or just under. Every percent of interest savings, we're seeing over $10 million in interest savings. So well over $20 million of just pure interest savings to go out now. And that was one factor. We also looked at what the costs of these projects, what's happening to them in regards to inflation. And what we saw was inflation's been trending at 4.96% in terms of construction. So the longer we wait, the higher the cost of the projects. And just the fact that interest rates are less than inflation, we said we need to try to do it at one time. The other factor is three of the projects are very much connected. One of the ways to become more efficient is to get the buildings to have a more single purpose. So like Dr. Rosh mentioned, the CUM building basically serves our science and health programs, but half of one floor is our electronics program. It would be very inefficient for us to build additional biology rooms and science labs in a different building just because we didn't want to relocate electronics. So we need to move electronics. In order to move electronics, we need to create a space for them. And so the largest project, the Integrated Technology Center, really brings all of our industrial technology programs that are on six different locations and just our downtown campus under one roof where we can gain additional efficiency. So the fact that the three are very much tied together was another reason why we were bringing them all three forward at one time.
Has there been any sort of study about when these projects are underway, where the students can go, the flow and all this stuff, given the ambitiousness of this?
Looking at how we would phase this, there's substantial planning that still needs to take place. What we would be looking at doing is after November, we would work to address the three smaller projects that are a little bit more focused, would take a little less planning. And get those up and running and bid out as soon as possible so that we could start construction this spring. So that would be the parking ramp, the greenhouse, and the diesel addition. One reason for doing that is, again, to avoid additional costs due to inflation. While we're doing those projects, we would start the final planning for the integrated technology building. Our hope would be that we could then follow up the following spring and get that started. So we would have to relocate two programs. We feel there's some adequate spaces in the community that we could lease for that purpose. Once that building's up, we can move electronics into it. We can move all the industrial technology programs out of the Coleman building, and that will really generate enough flexible space to move programs around while we're renovating both Coleman and CUM. So basically, just two industrial programs, we're looking at having to find off-site space.
Aesthetically wise, is WTC going to look a bit more updated?
You're going to be impressed with the campus. You know, we've really focused on creating that campus atmosphere. It's helped a lot with the image of our college over the years. In fact, we survey the parents of high school and middle school kids to try to assess what our image is with that important population. And in fact, the last survey that we did, our college ranked at the top of the 16 technical colleges as college of first choice. So we think that's important to have that image of being a destination for young people for their future. We also like the idea that you can start at Western and transfer to the university too, and so do a lot of people in our community. Because we can become, from a tuition perspective, a very affordable pathway to get started if you are intent on getting a bachelor's degree and beyond, too. So all of those things, having a campus environment that reflects the community and the populations that we're serving, we think are very important.
Have you heard from the public, and what have they been saying?
We've been out a lot talking to various community groups. In fact, our goal between now and November 6th is to talk to at least 100 different community groups and organizations. I think we're at about 30 right now. The feedback's good. And for the most part, initially, there's a question about the size and scope of the project. And then it takes some time to explain how aligning facilities in the curriculum and all of these changes are going to give us more capacity and the ability to serve more people. There's a couple of things that really stand out when we talk to the community. 81% of our grads will live and work in the Seven Rivers region. And so when they're graduating and they're working, they're going to be contributing back to the community that we have. There's another statistic that really catches people's attention. We survey our grads within 6 months of graduation to find out if they're working, related to their training, were they satisfied with Western, and how much are they earning. And typically, those grads within 6 months, are 93% are reporting that they're working and that the wages that they're reporting at that time are at about what the state median wage is at that time. Now, we do a five-year follow-up survey on those same individuals. The last five-year follow-up showed that the individuals reported a 58% increase in their wages over that five-year period. Now, think about that. How many jobs do you know of that are going to be able to offer the equivalent of a 58% pay raise over 5 years? That's equivalent to 9.5% per year compounded for five straight years. So I ask people, what do you think is happening? Well, the answer is they're not just getting a job. They're getting promotions. They're getting better paying positions. They're continuing their education. They're building their futures. That's the pathway that I think has the greatest indication of what the payback is to the region and to the community if we can increase our capacity. If we can get another 1,000 people into that, what I call the 58% pathway, that could have a significant impact on our community as well as the lives of those students.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm Steve Reisom. Our topic is the Western Technical College's $80 million referendum and up for a vote in November. And with us, WTC President Lee Rosch and Vice President Mike Pieper. Now, if the referendum does pass, can you guarantee that you won't need more changes in 2 years, 5 years, 10 or 20? As job markets change, as needs change, could we conceivably see some changes even after the projects are done? Mm-hmm.
In 1992, we went out for a referendum to build a new building in La Crosse and expand our satellite campus facilities. In 96, we had to ask the voters for approval to be a member of the Health Science Center. But we don't go to the voters over and over again. This is a long-range plan that we're bringing forward that is really a long-range investment in our future. Because we're building in flexibility and efficiency in how we're designing the spaces, we know there'll be change. But we think we can accommodate that change within the investments that we have here. For example, the Integrated Technology Center has something we call the Sustainability Institute space. And it's we don't have a program in sustainability. We have a plan to advance short-term certificates and seminars in a variety of areas. It's not the clean seminar space that you'd find in our Lunda Center. This will likely have a concrete floor, but it's where a company may put energy efficiency controllers or other devices that we would use for that kind of seminar instruction, and it would be in a partnership. That's going to allow us to flex our training in ways that we're not able to do if we're doing everything on the basis of existing degree programs. The key element on this is the way we're changing our curriculum, and these changes are going to happen. Starting fall 2013. In fall 2013, we're going to start operating on a trimester calendar, so it'll be kind of a year-round calendar. It'll allow some students in an associate degree to graduate in 18 months. It'll also allow students in the health occupations to get access to clinical sites in the community. Today, they compete with students for those same clinical experiences. They compete with students from Viterbo or UWL or Winona State, and it's actually a capacity challenge for us, not because of our program, but because of the clinical spaces available. So changing our curriculum and running on a year-round schedule gives us more options to try to deal with evolving new and emerging programs and enrollment changes. The second initiative also starting in fall 2013 is something we call Western Express. It's a evening, weekend, online, and online blended initiative that's trying to reach that working adult population that can't afford to quit their job and go to school full-time. And so you can see a lot more evening activity, a lot more online activity, or courses that may have some technical training face-to-face, and the rest will be done online. So we're really expanding our offerings and our schedule to try to accommodate the growth that we have. It's one of the reasons why we think we can do this with such increased efficiency. It's changing not only their curriculum, changing our facilities, but it's changing the way we staff and schedule and our approach to bringing education forward.
What if the referendum does not pass? What is Plan B? You mentioned about not necessarily going into this process again. What do you mean by that, Lee?
The college is advancing Vision 2020, and we're going to do everything we can to advance the concepts of that. We set a goal, a very realistic goal, of serving 1,000 more people by the year 2020 if we're successful with the total plan. Obviously, if we don't have the facilities piece approved, it's kind of like a three-legged stool. If one of the legs isn't there or isn't as strong as it needs to be, it'll be more challenging. We may not be able to reach our goal, but we're going to stay focused on what we can do and do what we can to within our mission to serve our community.
Lee Rosch is president of Western Technical College. He and Western Vice President of Finance and Operations, Mike Pieper, talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom about a nearly $80 million building referendum on the November ballot. It would help pay for 6 building projects at Western's La Crosse campus. Coming up next, we'll talk with a public health nurse about why so many people have contracted whooping cough this year. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.